You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Genesis and chapter 1. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we bow in your presence. Help us. Thank you very much. Spirit of God, in Christ's name, thank you. Amen. In our looking at this particular point at in season, and we ought to be reminded of that God is God. He's a glorious God, and he shows and has taken occasion to show his glory by creation. And in the creation are humans, Genesis 1, 26 and 27. We are made in his image and likeness. We are special. Of all the stars and galaxies and everything else, all the creation laws of science and animals, birds and fishes, there's no one like humans. They are special. Everything else in creation is going to disappear, except the humans. They're going to stay. They are made for eternity. Humans are. Humans are very, very special because they have they're created, they're designed, image and likeness, to mirror, to show forth, for God to find himself in the heart of a person. That's what it's all about. And God has made it possible by being the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world before he ever created any human, as we shared in Sunday school. Before he created us, he has planned to save us for his wonderful purpose, knowing Adam's sin, etc. So, God in his wonderful grace has made us humans that God could find himself in your heart and mine, us humans. That's what it's for. And for us, on the other hand, to find him. For him to find us. For us to know him. That's what it's about. Let me just go through something very simple. You need to understand the giver has a gift. That's what Christmas is all about. The giver's gift. What is the gift? A fresher mind. And why is it? What's so wonderful about the gift? What does the gift do that makes something so wonderful happen, I should say? Now, having said that, a little bit, and keeping that in mind, God's glorious purpose. And you know in Genesis 3:15, without looking at everything, but well, you're right there, the seed of the woman, God is going to provide a Savior. He said he would before he created anything. God provides a wonderful, wonderful Savior, a saving solution for man's sin. Adam and Eve believed, verse 20 and 21, Adam and Eve believed God, wonderful plan. And they knew they were guilty of sin. They knew they needed a Savior, and they received him. And in verse 21, and God clothed them. God, it's causative. God put clothes on them. What clothes did he put on them? Skins. He killed the animals, the skins. He prayed them. He put skins on them. God did it. They didn't do it. God put those skins on. Wow. Now, to cover the fig leaves, not to cover the fig leaves, to get rid of the fig leaves. So God's wonderful, 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 wonderful promise. And they believed it. They believed. They didn't take the skins off and throw them away. They believed. They believed, and God was going to sacrifice animals to show the sacrifice of his son. So when we come, as it were, to chapter 4, verse 1, Adam knew his wife, knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare a son, Cain, bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. I have gotten a man. Now, what did she just heard Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman. And now the man, the seed. This is it. No, it isn't. It's Cain. Wrong guy, wrong time. But one is coming, a man. Now hang on. So therefore, having said that, so a sacrifice is necessary, a substitute to cover the nakedness of our, because of our sin. So God's wonderful, wonderful grace, and Abel believed God in chapter 4 and sacrificed. Abraham believed God and sacrificed, chapter 15. They all knew, not everyone. In the days of Noah, it was just Noah and his family that got saved. But the people knew. They knew God had a wonderful plan to know him. Now God, so in the process of that, picking up chapter 22, Genesis 22, as you recall, and in Genesis 22, God tests Abraham because he has given Abraham Isaac. Isaac's the promised one. Out of the Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the way to Joseph, to Mary. That's the baby born. That's the source. That's where it's coming from. Wow. Now, do you believe? Abraham believed. How much do you believe, Abraham? How much do you believe what you said you believed? Abraham believed God and accounted to him for righteousness. Now, verse 1, came to pass after these things that God did tempt, put God to the test. God put them to the test, Abraham, put Abraham to the test, I should say, and said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee. And Abraham did that. Isaac was old enough to carry all the wood up for the fire, so you know he wasn't a little kid, or too little, because he carried the wood up that was going to put underneath him. And in the process, he did that. And verse 8, in light of the context, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide. Here's Isaac's there, going to get cut up, all tied up, ready, it's laying there, quite content, interestingly enough. And verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. And you know the incident as it went, and they went, and Abraham went to kill him, as God commanded him, told him. Verse 10, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abram, and he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon thy lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now what? I know that thou fearest God. You believe me so much you'd give up your promised son. I know you trust me. How much God, how much do we trust him? That's what I had to find out. Abraham, show me how much you trust me. Like Job will say, though he slay me, what? I will trust him. How much do you trust me? How much do you believe? That's why Abraham is the father of faith. Why didn't we pick Job as the father of faith? He's a guy, but we don't pick Job. God doesn't pick Job as your example. He picks Abraham. Abraham believed God. Thus, God will provide a lamb. Sliding down, and God did, verse 13, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for the burnt offering up instead of his son. And God knew. God said, I want to see what you're going to do. Are you going to trust me? How much are you going to trust me? Verse 14. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Yireh, as it is, Yireh, as it is this day, as it is said this day, in the mount of the olive, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And Abraham believed God, and God provided the lamb. God did. God promised he would. God said he was the lamb that would be provided. And he has provided the lamb in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, now God, you turn pages of history because we want to move through to see, God, are you consistent? You provided a lamb? You are the lamb. Uh-huh. You are the lamb that is going to be provided. And Abraham isn't going to give Isaac, but God is going to give his son. God is going to give his son. Isaac can't save anybody. Jesus Christ can. Now, having said that and picking that up in mind, over if you would please to Isaiah and chapter 9. And if you were going to go, and you know, so we're going to try to lock it in so there's no less questions. Isaiah in chapter 9, you recall. And may I pick up, please, in verse 6. 9 and 6. For unto us a child is born, underline. At the same time, unto us a son is given, the God-man, God the Son, in the perfect humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's God. He's God. God the Son. God in Christ. Uh-huh. Wow. That's going to be. Verse 6. And the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David, upon the kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. God, you're going to do all of those things. I am, said God. Now, turn the pages. History goes on. Micah. And in Micah, as you would guess, Micah chapter 5, and in Micah chapter 5, we're going to add, God is going to come, the incarnation, God is going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And thus, chapter 5, Micah, verse 2, that's what it says. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrata, that's the tribe of Ephraim, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, you'd go right through Jerusalem, right through Palestine, Bethlehem, I should say. You'd go right through Bethlehem and you wouldn't even know you went through it. One little gas station, a little snack shop, right through it. Wow. Yet out of thee shall come forth He come forth unto me, that is the ruler of Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting. Wow. So where's it going to be? The God, the Son is going to be given. Your Son is going to be given. A child is going to be born. And the Son that's going to be, the child that's going to be born is from everlasting to everlasting. What did we just read in 9:6? He's the everlasting God. He's the eternal God. He's the mighty God. He's the Father. That's right. No, God, all, it's all about you. Uh-huh. All about you. Turn the pages. You told us that in John 5:39. You told us that in Luke 24, etc., 44. All scripture is about you. That's right. It's about me, said God. You want to know about me? That's what the scriptures, 66 books of the Bible, to know. Therefore, God, the seed of the woman, the seed of the woman. Now the seed of the man, the seed of the egg, we get us guys, us humans. Now, but a child is born, a son is given, the incarnation, Luke chapter 1. And in Luke chapter 1, picking up in thought, now how is it going to be? We can't have the seed of a man, Romans 5:12, because that's where sin comes. Who made you a sinner? The seed in the egg, the seed made the sinner. The man. Even though Eve is the one deceived and tricked, and Adam was the one that willfully looking at Eve, who was already sinned, he's guilty, and he's the seed. So what are we going to do? Well, we got to get rid of the man. Get rid of the man. Uh-huh. And God, what are you going to do? Well, you're the one that made us seeds and eggs and all of those things. You're the one that created us. Think of Sunday school. God, you created us. We're special, special, special. You created us for your glory and for your honor. Wow. So verse 35. The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost, because Mary wants to know, how on earth can I have a, I'll read verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? I have to have a seed. And no, you don't. I am going to be the seed. A child is born, a son is given. God is doing this. This is God's thing. He's going to eliminate man. Eliminate man. What are you going to provide? The Son of Man. Verse 35. And the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That's what you're going to call him. Wow, that's wonderful. God, you're going to do that. Uh-huh. It's all up so far. It's a good turn. Christmas, the gift, the giver. The giver, the wonderful, wonderful giver. Wow. What are you giving? Hebrews chapter 10. The egg, the seed, God provides the seed for the egg. And we have the sinless Son of God, the perfect humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ, born in the Virgin Mary. Now, God, how is that going to be? Well, before the foundation of the world, God had it all in mind, the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. The God has provided a lamb. That's correct. God has provided a lamb. And he provided a way to get the lamb. How are we going to get a lamb? We're going to have a human. That's right. And God provided the way to get the human that he needed, the sinless Son of God, to be the perfect Savior, the perfect substitute, the perfect satisfaction. Now, here's Hebrews chapter 10 reminding us. Now, God, what are you going to remind us of? Well, in verse 4, 10 and 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. So all of the sacrifices of Abraham, Isaac, and Abel, and all of those never save. No, they don't. Thousands of sacrifices that's in the days of Solomon and the dedication of the temple. No, it doesn't save. No, it says there is a Savior. There's a wonderful Savior. And all the thing, if everything we did, everything can't even pay, can't even come close to what God is going to pay. God is going to send his own Son. God the Son, in the perfect humanity of Christ, to be born to the cross. Wow. So therefore, verse 5, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices of sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offering for sin thou wouldst not. No, we don't need that. Neither hadst pleasure in therein. No, none of those did the job. No, none of those also do all those merit and works and all of it. No, never do it. Which are offered by the law. Verse 9. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. The law can't save anybody, but Christ can. Christ can. Verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Wow. So God, you're going to make it possible for birth to take place. Uh-huh. A child is born, a son is given. I'm going to make it possible. You're going to have a body. That's right, a human body. God, you prepared a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful body. Wow. God, that's awesome. God provided a lamb. God provided a perfect substitute. Wow. But it's not a lamb. You didn't provide a lamb. Now, all the lambs and all the goats and all the animals could never, never, never take away and atone for sin. They could never forgive you. They could never pay, ever. The only sin is against God. And the only one that can forgive sin is God. It's against him. And therefore, God, how are you going to forgive? How are you going to do this, God? Now, we have Christmas, and we have all these things traditionally and historically. We have one of these things. Now, God, how are you going to do it? So it's not going to be a lamb. No, it's going to be a baby. Just a baby. The baby of all babies. Do you know, and I reminded you the other day, and myself, we were once all babies. So no one can stand up and say, I've always been a big guy. No, you all were once little babies. Now, God, how are you going to identify with us? You want us to know you, and you to know us. In a unique relationship. Yes. How are we going to do that, God? Well, I'm going to go and be born in Bethlehem, Judea. I told you that. The seed of a woman. I told you that. It's going to be a baby. I told you that. A baby. Because that's how you started. Where did you come from, God? You created us with the seed and the egg. And then you made a body. And then out we came. And you put life in us. Now, God, how are you? That's us. So we want to know, God, if you're going to save us, are you like us? Absolutely. Born, a body, in the Virgin Mary, I was born, a baby, a helpless baby. Baby, of all the things, the ordinary, an ordinary baby that was extraordinary. Because God limited himself to diapers. He limited himself to a cry. That's all he could do. He, who knows all things, could only cry. And he, who created the universes with a snap of his finger, as it were, had no power to change his diapers, to get a bottle, to feed himself. Zero. Utterly, utterly helpless. Helpless. I need to see that. Why'd you do that, God? God said, I want to know you. And you need to know, us humans, what? That you're all babies. You all grew up. I created you. I created you for my glory and my honor. I did that to know me. That's what I want. You see, I am the gift of Christmas. I am the gift. The baby is me, said God, for you, for us to know him. It isn't gifts, no. Is it Christmas about us getting? No, no. It's about God giving the gift of all gifts, giving himself, period. For what reason? To know him. How am I going to know him? He's the infinite God. Wow. Awesome. The God, how are we going to know you? Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The earth showeth his handiwork. Heavens. But God, how are we going to know you? Ah. If I don't help you, you'll never know me. Hang on. Now, over to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40. In Isaiah, in chapter 40, and picking up the wrong place. In Isaiah chapter 40, may I go, please, to verse 15. Remember, now we're looking at God apart from the baby. We aren't looking at the baby, keep the baby here. We're looking at God in history. How does the world see God? How does God see the world? Isaiah 40, verse 15. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as small dust in the balance. Behold, he taketh thee up the isles as a very little thing. Now, if you had a bucket of water, do you, and you had one drop, big bucket of water, and you have one drop, how significant would it be, one drop? One drop. Do you know dust? The zillions, I have no idea because I never counted them. And if you want something to help, you sit here after church and you count the dust particles. I want you to count the dust particles. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands. I have no idea, dust particles. There we are. God weighs all the dust. God said, the nations are like one drop of dust. How significant is one drop of dust? I just blew one away. How significant? How are we going to know you, God? How are we going to know you? Ah. Verse 16. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn the whole forest. Nor the beasts thereof burn all the animals therein for sacrifice, sufficient for a burnt offering. Verse 17, all nations before him are as nothing. They are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. The Russian Empire, the China Empire, all of them. Wow. Nothing. They're nothing. Wow, we look at the map and say, the armies, China's over a million men or whatever it is. And wow, nothing. Wow. Verse 18. To whom then will you liken me? In what likeness will you compare? What will ye compare unto him? And how are you going to, I want to know him. I'm just asking you a question. I don't know him. We're in the presence of God. But how can we truly get to interacting with him when he's like God? He's God. Look at, he's wow. That's right. Wow. God, we can't. Chapter 40, verse 22. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, the inhabitants thereof, that's us, are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, all of the thousands of trillions of galaxies, that bringeth the princes to nothing, he maketh the judges of the earth vanity, yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stalk shall not take root in the earth, and he shall blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. Verse 25, to whom then will you liken me? Or who shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Now how are you going to know me? Grasshoppers. Think of the illustration of the ants. I use it down there. And they literally, here's us guys up here. And the ant trying to tell the ants about us up here. And us up here. But it's no way. I'd have to become an ant, wouldn't I? He had to become a baby. Otherwise you couldn't. You couldn't do it. The greatest gift is the giver himself giving you himself to know him. That's the biggest gift of all. Christmas isn't about getting anything. It's about what God has given to the human heart if they would take it. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, go with me, please, over in the light of the baby cried and all of the helplessness and a baby utterly, utterly helpless and unable to do anything, actually. And so, but God, the little baby, became the man, the Son of Man, the man, Christ Jesus, the God-man. Uh-huh. He became the God-man. And flesh and blood. Yes, he did, flesh and blood. So there's no question. Did all of Israel back then in Palestine, were they able to know him? Uh-huh. Were they able to touch him? They could. They could see him. He's from Nazareth. That's a nobody town, Nazareth. He's from there. He has brothers and sisters. He can't really be God, can he? There's his mother, Mary. There's his father, but no, that's not his father. That's his stepfather. And all those brothers and sisters, I have brothers and sisters. They aren't like him. He's different. That's right. He's wonderfully different. Do you people in Israel understand that? No, I don't. What did you say, God, about yourself? If you've seen me, don't do it just in case it isn't there. John chapter 10, or 14. John 14. And John 14, picking up in verse 7, remember, God, if you've seen me, if you remember, Philip wanted to know, verse 8 for time, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you? And hast thou not known me? We've read that 1,000 times, and there it is. Philip, he that hath seen me, hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in my Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. The works, the words, that's God. God. Verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the way work's sake. You may not understand it, but what I say and what I do, only God can do. Nicodemus, chapter 3 of John, did you understand that? He did. Nicodemus, how did you look at the Lord Jesus back then? No one can do these works except God be what? With him. No one can do this stuff. Then Jesus said, at least believe the words and my works that I do. You don't have to believe I am, but you better believe where they're coming from, you see. Because no one can do them but God. That's right. And no one can make a baby born in Bethlehem in Judea, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes are a long strip bandage. Think of a long piece of cloth, like a bandage. Swaddling clothes. Where are you? In a manger. In a baby, where they keep the animals. In a manger, in a crib, where they feed the animals. Wow. That's where you are. Who's there? God. In Bethlehem, not Jerusalem. God's there. God said, I'm there. And you know what? Herod's going to send the wise men over there. But the Herod didn't believe. Did Herod believe Micah 5:2, born in Bethlehem? No, but wise men way over there in Babylon area, 600 miles away or so, way over there, they believed the star. They were looking. They knew something had to happen in the light of the Old Testament that they had. They read it. And they said, something's happening, and they followed it. Also, he was about 2 years old when he got there. They got there. It took time traveling all that distance. What do you do, wise men? I came. Now, you know what? Herod, is the baby. Baby's there. Is Herod interested? Herod doesn't even know. He doesn't care. And he doesn't even know Micah 5:2. He don't know anything when it comes to really what you need to know. He doesn't know. But the wise men do. And when the wise men came that far to go to Bethlehem, that's when he went to try to kill him. But he didn't know. The unbelievers don't know. God, how are we going to know? God, you have to become. We can't possibly come to grips with your awesomeness except you come and make it possible for us not only to be saved, but to have a unique relationship to you, that we could enjoy you, that we could know you by faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And God, we're able to have you abide in me and I abide in you, God. And we have a unique relationship. You made it possible. And we're bound. We're bound to be in these bodies, locked into that which is visible. 2 Corinthians 4, the invisible is greater. Invisible is greater than the visible, you see. But we're locked in, aren't we? Aren't you sort of stuck? You can't only see so far, even with a Hubble telescope. You only can see so far. What can I tell you? We're locked in, but by faith. God, you aren't, and you saved us to be able to enter in to the unknown, to the invisible, in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And God, you've done that to show yourself in your littleness, a little baby that was the Lamb of God, God provided a lamb, the little lamb, the little baby, in swaddling clothes. And by the way, the swaddling clothes, that word, is used once more in Job 38. You remember it, don't you? When God created the earth and all of God's creation, and here's the earth covered in darkness. And how did you, what did you wrap around the earth? A band of darkness, thick darkness. I covered the world, the ball, in thick darkness. And he said, it's a swaddling cloth. I covered it. What are we covering our Lord, the light of the world, with a bandage, a swaddling cloth? And you look at him, and he looks just like all the other babies. But he isn't. He isn't. He isn't. Wonderfully, no. Now, God, why did you do that? So that we could know you. God, the Lamb of God, the child of God, the man Christ Jesus, going to the cross and rising again. He's the man, the baby, the lamb, the man who is able to save us to the utmost. And that man is able to go and judge. He's going to judge the whole world. That's his, Acts 17, that's his assignment, among other things. But that man is going to be seated at the right hand of God, and his death on the cross is going to make available eternal life. John 17 and 3, we read it last week in John. And this is eternal life, to know the true and only God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. To know him, the baby, to know God. That's right. So that you could know him. So people, all the people that are unsaved, I don't want to know him. After you pass on, if not before, you will know him. You will know him. And us, privileged people, privileged indeed. Privilege indeed. And you know, over in Hebrews, chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, you recall, God, how can we deal with you? How are we going to deal with you? We're your body. You're the head. We're able to know you. To know you, God, who is like Moses, you know it. Hebrews 11 and verse 27. By faith, Moses, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. How did you ever do it, Moses? You went up to Mount Sinai, how many times, 10 times or whatever, enduring as seeing him who is invisible. Well, we don't have to do that. No, we have to, Moses, we don't have to be like you. No. And they had a cloud over them by day and a fire by night. No, we don't have to do that. And you know for the, over it to John chapter 20. And in John chapter 20, you remember Thomas? Wow! And Thomas said, except I see the nail prints in his hand, etc., I don't believe he ever rose. The end of verse 25, I will not believe. After 8 days, verse 26, again his disciples were within, next Sunday evening service, by the way. First Sunday, they had Sunday evening, and the next Sunday, they had Sunday evening. 8 days, verse 26, and Thomas saith unto them came Jesus, and doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." And then said he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and be thrust it into my side." That's awesome. "And be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said unto him, note, Thomas, "As because thou hast seen me and hath believed, blessed are they who have not seen and yet believed." And here we are, God, believing you went to the cross and rose again. Why? Because you gave a baby. Now, a baby, we would never know. But the baby became a man. Became a man. And the man went after 3 1/3 years to the cross and up and down the land of Palestine and thereabouts, North Africa and all of it. Would you know of this man? Yes. Now, let's make it more public and so you can't walk away. On the day of Passover, etc., they crucified him. Awesome. Public. Public. Romans. Everyone all agreed. Publicly. Witnesses. Now that, you can make that go away. Baby, you can make go away. But he's the baby. He died on the cross. You can make that go away. But he's the man. He's the baby, he's the Savior. But you can't make go away the empty tomb. And he rose again. You can't make that go away. No one can make that go away. There is no one. There is no one anywhere, in any way, shape, or form, apart from Enoch, that God took. People like that. There is no one that has risen again from the dead. Only him. He's the only one. And the whole 66 books of the Bible are about him. The baby. To be able to know him. And thus, we are privileged. We are privileged, dear friends. Go with me, please, in closing. Ephesians. I hope you got a little bit. I'm trying to get you Christmas focused. So you can just say, all the stores, forget spending money, forget buying gifts, forget getting anything. You're all relaxed with nothing. No how, right? Once I get it straight, that's how it really will be. I'm content with nothing and everything. Well, hang on. Ephesians 1, quickly. Verse 6. We are to be, not like Moses, invisible, not like Thomas, you have to touch me. No, not like that, not at all. We ought to be, by faith and understanding, Christ rose again, an empty tomb. You can't refute it. You can't bypass it. You can't, everyone that has written, Quo Vadis and all of those different books that have been written by lawyers and other people that wrote them to refute the resurrection. And that's why they ended up being written, because you can't refute it. You can't get rid of it. It's impossible to get rid of the resurrection. Wonderfully, you bear witness, if you're saved, to the resurrected Christ. Well, and thus, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted. The word accepted, you know 100 times, highly favored, graced. In the beloved Christ, we are representing the grace of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's full of grace and truth. So what are we doing? We are remarkable critters. To know God, that's Christmas. For God to know you, that's his gift. He's the gift and the giver. He himself. It started with you, God. It ends with you. It's all about you. Christmas. And Christmas doesn't need on earth, no. No. Christmas is a heavenly thing. How heavenly is it? It's a godly thing. How godly is it? It's God Himself. That's what it is. That's awesome. I think it's awesome. That's what Christmas is. How many people understand that? Wow. That's what God's done for you, to know Him, to know you. Think of that. That'll give you a good afternoon nap time to think about. To God, to know you. God wants you to know. He wants you to know you. That's why we have a vine and the branch. We're connected together to know Him. That's what it's all about. I got to pray. I hope we got a little bit. Our Father and God, we thank You for Thy word, Thy work, Thy grace. God, thank You. Help us put it all together even this day for Your honor and Your glory, that we'd be the immediate beneficiaries for the benefits, God. So no matter what, who, when, where, why, no matter how much, about anything, anyhow, anybody, anywhere, God, it's You. It's You, the giver. You, the gift. Thank You. Thank You. For those who know You not as Lord and Savior, God, convict, convince, and deal with our heads and hearts, and help us even this hour. In Christ's name, amen.